families and circumstances and situations where people are facing a crisis in their lives. What to do about it? Daniel, as you know, was a great forerunner of the things that Revelation talks about, the things that happened in that. But what you might not really realize about Daniel is that when he was about 16 years old, he, along with three of his friends, were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and them and in Babylonian captivity down there. And he's trying to make the best of a bad situation in his heart and his life. And Scripture teaches us that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had a dream. It was a disturbing dream, a dream in which he did not understand. In fact, it was a dream that he couldn't even remember, the dream. But it caused him to not be able to sleep, eat, or do any of his regular everyday things as king, because it kept troubling him. He called in all of the powers to be, all the soothsayers and all those kind of folks, and they came in and he told them to interpret his dream. All right, you tell us what it is, we'll interpret it for you. He said, I can't remember what it was. If you can interpret it, you can tell me what it was. Well, you know, they're not human. They're human, but they're not able to read the future. Understand what he's saying to them in their hearts and their lives. And it made him mad because he couldn't get the answer to the dream that he had. And he ordered for them to take and kill all those individuals and any of the powers to be. Well, old Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, had proven themselves in captivity down there pretty fast. And because they were in that elite group, they got to go in and eat from the king's table and all those things, and they refused to do so. And that's another story for another day. But they were in that group that the king ordered for them to be murdered, to wipe them out. And he sends out his leaders to go forth and to carry out the king's decree and to have them all murdered. Daniel hears this, and he don't understand why the king is being so cruel to them in their hearts and their lives. Why innocent people that have nothing to do whatsoever, like his three friends, were going to die because of this decree that the king had made, and his heart and his life. And so he did what you and I did. Look at verse 15 with me of chapter 2 of Daniel. It said, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, the one that had the orders to kill the men. He answered and said to him, why is the decree so hasty from the king? What's he got up so upset so fast about? Why is he ordering this and not allowed anybody an opportunity to defend themselves? Why? That's a question we often ask ourselves, isn't it? Something comes our way that we don't understand. We feel like we can only ask why. Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. He told him what the king's problem was. Verse 16, the scripture says, Daniel went in and he desired of the king if he'd give him a little time. Give me some time. Now the king probably thought he was just stalling, that he was trying to hold back and keep the decrees, saving his own neck and stuff. That wasn't Daniel's intent. The scripture says that he could show the king the interpretation. If you'll give me a little time. Now, what did he need that time for? And his heart and his life. And the things. If you knew anything about Daniel, you know that morning, noon, and night, Daniel did what? He went up into his room, he knelt at the window, and he what? He prayed, that's right. He set aside a specific time in his heart and his life to pray. You know, one of the greatest things that we need to face crisis in our lives is to be prayed up when that crisis comes. Don't wait till the crisis is there before we begin to seek God's face. And he set aside a time that he could pray. He not only set aside a time, he set aside a place where he could pray. And his heart and his life. I wonder about us. Do we have a place set aside? Do we have a time set aside that we can pray in our hearts and our lives? I tell you a lot of times about my favorite old tree in the storm a couple of years ago, blowed it down, you know. And don't have that old tree anymore, but I still have some others over there that are smaller. Have a place to pray. Have a time to pray. And, you know, the other thing that he did here, the scripture says in verse 17 that Daniel went to his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, his three good friends that he knew he could trust and depend upon to pray with him about this crisis that had come up, not only in his life, but in their lives and the lives of a lot of other innocent men that were going to die because of the anger of Nebuchadnezzar in his heart and his life. One of the greatest things that you and I can have when a crisis reveals itself to us in our hearts and our lives is somebody that we can call upon that we know is a prayer warrior. We all need a companion. We all need someone that we know will pray for us, and pray with us, and pray for our whatever need is in our hearts and our lives. Shortly after the Lord saved me and I was serving the Lord in church there at Shady Grove and things, there was some old rental houses up the hill from the church, and there was some kids come from that rental house up there. We call them the old Charlie Rouse houses. And there were about six of them, and there were some rough kids come out of some of them houses as far as having a little manners about church and stuff and things. So Miss Orel Rouse, a dear saint of God, I love her with all my heart. But one morning she was having a time. She was patting this and pushing this and trying to keep some of those kids straight. And I got up and went over and sat down with her right in the middle of Brother Smith's sermon, you know. I won her heart when I did that. And to the day she died, she was my prayer partner. It didn't matter what I was going through, what decision I had to make or anything. All I had to do is say, Miss Orel. And she came to my rescue. Daniel had three individuals here, three friends. Later we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hadn't had their names changed yet, but they're Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Do you have some place that you can go to pray? Do you have a time set apart to pray? Do you have a friend that you know that you can go to, not to spread the crisis around the neighborhood, but to pray with you and pray for you as God is dealing with us in your heart and your life? Let's pick up pace a little bit. Let me show you some things here. He asked them to pray, but here's what he wanted them to pray, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. It wasn't that they were any better or anything else, but they knew that they were God's men for the hour in that place of worship. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. They prayed, they asked, and God answered. In the middle of the night, Daniel had a vision, and his prayer was answered. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, now I want you to listen to his prayer real closely with me, all right? The second, verse 20 says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. First thing he said in his prayer was he blessed the God of heaven. And he said, blessed be the name of God. How long? Forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. Verse 21, some we all need to pay attention to. Things don't always stay the same. Look what he says here. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. We're here today, may not be here tomorrow. Things change. Situations come and situations go. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Wisdom and knowledge in our hearts and our lives. What we know and what we understand, what we can do. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness and in the light, and the light dwelleth with him. I had to break that down in Bexley lingo so I can understand that in my heart and my mind. But simply is what he knows what's over the next hill. He knows what's around the next curve. He knows what Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week's going to hold. And everything in our future concerning the things that matter in our hearts and our lives. And unfortunately for us, many come, many go. You know, blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, Brother Larry, you don't know what I'm going through. If you did, you'd know it'd be hard to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he didn't just tell you there. Listen what he said. He changeth the times and the season. Our life can be headed in one direction. He can turn us around and head us in another. He removes our loved ones and he setteth up our loved ones. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the dark. The light dwelleth with him. Why should we stay prayed up? Because he knows what. what our tomorrows hold for us in our hearts. He said, I thank thee and I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me what we desire of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. After he got that vision in the night, and he saw what the king's dream was, and he knew the interpretation of that dream, before he goes running to the king and says to the king, I got it. I can tell you what it says, and I can explain to you what it means. He didn't do that, did he? First thing he did was, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He thanked God for what God was doing for him in his heart and his life. Verse 24 says, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I'll show you, the king, the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, that they will make known unto the king the interpretation in their hearts and their lives. Whenever Daniel and his three companions prayed, they didn't pray a random prayer. They prayed a specific prayer. What did they ask God for? Wisdom and knowledge to know what? What the king's prayer was, what his dream was, and then how to interpret that dream and save the lives not only of them four, but all the other men that were involved in it. We don't understand sometimes what God does, but who are we to question God? Yet Daniel said, why? Why? What's the hurry? What's he so upset about? It was because it was disturbing him in his heart and his life. And Daniel, he instructed his three friends to pray for wisdom and knowledge to understand king's dream and to explain it in their hearts and their lives. One of the things that I think that we have to be careful about when we are seeking a time of prayer and our needs and in times of our crisis is that we need to be careful what our motive is. Be careful what our motive is. You know, Lord, you're going to bail me out of this mess? You're going to do this, you're going to do that, you know. Sometimes, and sadly it hurts to say this, but the only time God hears from us is when that crisis shows up. When we go through a time of troubles and trials in our hearts and our lives. Well, let me tell you something. It may seem harsh to us, but God's glad to hear from us anytime we'll call upon him. And allow him to be the Lord of our lives. Daniel went in and he said, don't destroy them. I'll show you the interpretation in their hearts and their lives. And the king said to Daniel in verse 26, whose name was Belteshazzar, he's done changed Daniel's name now to Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Can you really do this? All these other guys had done what? Well, we can't interpret your dream because you don't even remember what the dream was. How are we going to understand and know how to interpret something? Tell us what the dream was. Impossible. Scripture says that Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secrets which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. Daniel said, it don't matter who you bring in. it's impossible for them to be able to interpret your dream. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care how important they are. We face in some of our crises and stuff, and we do everything that we can on our own, you know, and our hearts and our lives to try to make things work out under our terms. But I like what Daniel told him. Listen to what he said here in verse 28. He said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. You know, we sang that song a while ago, in the sweet by and by. You know, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. You know, we're going to come together with the Lord. And he said, by and by. These things that we don't understand, these heartaches and hurts and sufferings that we went through in this old world of ours that we've had to deal with. Many of them we don't feel like it's fair, you know. I fight all the time, you know, trying to keep from having a pity party for this old cancer that all these old treatments have had to go through and all the things, but God's still in control, you know. And just when I think, you know, all hope's gone, he'll deliver me. Tell you a little story, you know. About a year or so ago, my jawbone, they told me it had eaten through my gum, that I needed to go to this doctor in Hattiesburg, and he's going to cut out that part of that jawbone and do a skin graft over that. And for me to pay $2,800 that morning I was there with him, be there in 2 weeks, and he'd do the surgery and stuff, and have another $2,800. I said, you want everything I got, you know, and more too. You know, I said, if I got anything, I'm going to leave it for Kim. I'm not going to give it to you. He said, what? I said, I don't need no teeth in heaven. I said, I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to be like Jesus. He's perfect. I ain't going to do all that. He said, well, that's going to get infected, and, you know, and it's close to your brain, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. I said, I ain't going to do it, and I didn't do it. And I didn't let it ride. Every time I'd try to eat something and move that thing, you know, and it touched that nerve, and I'd just squinch and go. Suffered better for part of a year with that thing, you know. I woke up Thursday morning, down the bottom of my jaw down here. It was nothing more than a piece of that tooth broke off, and it finally worked its way through that gum and come out of there. And it was laying over here. I spit that thing out, you know. I put my tongue over it. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I still got my $5,600. I'm still alive. God's good, isn't he? I had to suffer a while. I had to go through some things. But I understood verse 28 when it said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. You know, I didn't just make that decision to say I'm not going to go through that. I prayed about that. You know, they put you in them old cubicle things there and forget about you. You know, they tell you to be there at 7:30 and they'll get to you about 11:30 if you're lucky and stuff. But I didn't waste time reading a magazine or nothing else. I said, Lord, I need to know what to do. What I needed to do. There's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets when you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn or where to go. He's there. If you got a place and you got a time and you got a friend, pray, pray, pray. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Folks, we're in those latter days. Both physically and spiritually in our hearts and our lives. I look out over our group, some aging all of us, for most of us. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we got to trust him. We got to trust him. Well, Brother Larry, you know, I understand. But listen what he said. There's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. You may have already crossed your path of crisis in your life. Things may not have worked out in the direction you had hoped that it would work out in. But I want you to know, God didn't just carry you through the crisis and dump you. He's still right there. And he's got a plan for you and your heart and your life that'll see you to the end of what he wants you to do. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And oh, Daniel could start telling Nebuchadnezzar what all of that meant in his heart and his life. I long for the day that we can understand what God has for us in our hearts and our lives. Why we go through some of the things that we go through in our hearts and our lives. You know, I've been on fire. Threw gas on a pile of limbs and it backfired and burnt me up down one side. Got threw out of a pickup and landed on my back and knocked the wind out of me. I thought I was a goner for sure. You know, little old storm blew my shed away. It had my gun in there and I reached and got it and boom! It hit me right there. Missed my heart a quarter of an inch, they said. But I'm still here. Raking hay, come to the end of the terrace, trotting pretty fast with an old tumble rake, you know. And I hit the throttle on the tractor and the cable broke. Tractor went wide open. I went over that. Bloom, bloom, bloom. It flowed me out. And when it landed, the water in the radiator on the tractor was pouring out on my face. You know, and then cancer. I don't know what God's up to, but I know this, I'm still here. He ain't finished with me yet, you know. But I just see so many times along the way, I could have just said, well, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm quitting. I've had enough. I'm beating my head against the wall, you know. Not so. You got to keep on keeping on. We don't understand. We don't know why. But when there's a crisis in our lives, the most effective tool that we have is our prayer life and seeking God's face. I want you to do something for me. You know, I'm supervisor as well as preacher. Tomorrow I got a very, very, very important decision to make concerning my district. What I should do and how I should do it. I'm asking you, as my friends, like he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to pray. I'm asking you to pray, not for Brother Larry, but this decision will have a lasting effect for a long time, 10 years probably. For our county, especially for District 4, as I try to help some folks that really need help, I'm asking you to pray. Long about 9 o'clock in the morning to 10, 10:30, long more along in there, I need your help. Because I got some enemies out there that don't want to see what I'm going to try to do for my people. And they're going to fight me every step of the way. But I serve a God that's greater than any of them in our hearts and our lives. He's able. He said if we would be faithful and just as he be faithful and just to meet our needs. And our county needs that. Would you pray with me? I know in your heart and your life, you have faced some crisis. Maybe things didn't turn out like they turned out for Daniel. But God wasn't through with Daniel, and I'm telling you, he's not through with you. Just because things are the way they are, I want to suggest you to do something for me. I want you to say, Lord, where do I go from here? You know my days, my hours, my weeks. You know the troubles, the trials, the afflictions I've been through. Where do I go from here, God? And as you pray, and you pray specific, and you pray in your place of prayer, and your time of prayer, and all the things concerning your prayer life, don't do all the talking. Do some listening. And let that still, small voice, which is the Lord, speak to you and say to you, here's where we're going. And here's how we're going to get there. Just follow me. Follow me. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory, Father. None of us, not our will, but your will be accomplished. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. These altars are open. You want to come kneel and pray, you're welcome to do so. Maybe you're facing that crisis. You've been through that crisis, or there's a crisis right around the corner for you. But we're all going to have times we're going to have to deal with some things in our hearts and our lives. But I want to tell you something. You can let everything go that you want to go, but don't turn loose of God. He's the one that can help you through it all. I'm here. I'll be glad to pray with you. These altars are open. Well, we're going to sing, brother.
Out of my bondage, sorrow night, Jesus, I come.
Out of that crisis. That's what that bondage and sorrow and night is all about. He said he had the light. He can show us the way.